Today, I want to talk to you from the sermon series, the January sermon series, Dress for Success. Dress for success. With the help of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will start off this year, 2024, with this brand new series. The wordplay I want you to understand is intentional. The title is Dress, D-R-E-S-S, and not Dressed, D-R-E-S-S-E-D. And not Dressed, E-D. And there's a really good reason for that. The reason for this particular wording is because Dressed, E-D, gives off the impression that everyone here is already in a wardrobe that will play a part in our victory and has something to do with our success as not just as a Christian, but as a Christian family. And the problem with giving off that impression is that for the most part, we are not dressed in a manner that will ensure Christian victory. But we can, and we have to be, if we're going to, as the Bible says, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I want to be very clear about this, and you might want to write this down. You can never win a fight when you are swinging at the wrong person. You have to know who you're at war against. And what Satan has begun, what Satan has been successful in doing for years and having issues is having issues with us having issues with the wrong ones. Let me show you what I mean as we study this text, and we'll be in it for the next month. Ephesians chapter 6 is verses 10 through 18, the New King James Version. It says it like this. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Underscore that part. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand it in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all," somebody say above all, "taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints." Many of you might be wondering, why do we need this armor? I thought Christianity was this sweet, loving, full of hugs and smiles, fellowship dinners, and growing relationships. Wrong. Christianity is full of warfare, spiritual battles, and planting your flag in the sand, standing firm in God despite whatever may come your way. The book or the letter to the Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul, who in fact wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Many argue that he wrote 14, and that book in question would be the book of Hebrews. But the language was so, because the language was so similar to the other writings that Paul had signed his name to, people just assumed and assume it was his writing. And since I don't see the same pattern kept by Paul in all of his other letters, which is identifying who he was by name, I simply stated like this, the Hebrew writer. So Paul writes the book of Ephesians, or the letter to the Ephesian people, in order to encourage unity in the early church. Paul Paul counsels the people of Ephesus not to be divided by their former statutes as Gentiles or Jews. And we say, so we might say something like, well, what has that really got to do? Because even though at that time, Paul was saying, listen, I don't want you to take on the characteristics of your former Jew life where you thought you were better than everybody else. In 2024, we say things like, look here, if you off the pole, stay off the pole. If you got saved, don't start getting high again. If you got saved, stop cussing everybody out. I don't want you to go back to who you used to be before you became someone in Christ. Paul wants us to have unity. And what unites the church, Paul argues, is their shared commitment to the cause of Christ and their agreement on his divinity. We will be doing a study on Ephesians soon, but today I just want to stay focused on the task at hand. In our focal verses, Paul says that you are going to need this armor. And the reason for the need of this armor is because there is a war going on. And whether you know it or not, want to acknowledge it or not, you are being used in this war. And the pulpits all over the world has failed the congregations by not letting them know that they are in a war. And it is a war between good and evil. It is a war between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. And it is a war between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And what is very important to understand is that you are in the war. Lord, have mercy. Whether you have been saved or not really makes no matter in the fact that you're still in this war. The only difference between the saved and the unsaved is the saved should know who they are at war against. The unbeliever doesn't know that as an unbeliever, they have already enlisted to be a soldier in the kingdom of darkness. And the reason that I say the believer should know that they are in a war is because this should be taught in every church. And the problem is it's not. And as a consequence, the believer is taking loss after loss. We're trying to figure out why people come to church for a few months and then don't come back to church at all. It's not because they didn't dig the church. It's not because they had a problem with the pastor. It's not because service went too long. The problem was they were not properly taught that in this walk, there's going to be some hell. And to bring them in and get them to join and add them to the number list and all of that and make sure they're putting their money in the plate. We fail to say you're going to go through some things in this walk of ours. We don't want to tell nobody that. Ain't nobody going to stay around for something like that. And as a consequence, on the strength of what they do not know, they are constantly taking loss after loss after loss. And they begin to think to themselves, well, if it's going to be like this, I was doing better when I was in the world. So we have to learn. We have to teach. Now, it's going to be some drama in this walk. You're going to go through some things in this walk, but I bless the Lord that I read somewhere, but blessed is those who are persecuted for his name's sake. See, let me get back to task. See, because we know how to get up and get dressed for work. We know how to get up and get dressed for the club. We know how to get up and get dressed for the gym. We even know how to get up and get dressed for church. And all that's good, you know, getting up for church. But what you better learn is how to get up and put the armor of God on. Because you are going to be in a war every day, all day long. I need you to understand that wars are made up of a bevy of battles. And as a child of God, we are hit with the battles all the day long. And some of your battles are with a disgruntled coworker that's just itching to be cussed out. Y'all act like y'all don't itch. It don't itch sometime to, even with my Holy Ghost filled mind, every now and again, I just have to go say, bathroom break. Get it together, Bishop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It seems like people don't show up for their job. They show up to irritate you. Then there are some battles that come from within. And those are the ones we tend to overlook because it's not because they're not that important, but we overlook them because can't nobody else see them. At least we think can't nobody else see him. But baby, I come to tell you, I used to be a Muslim, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say something like this: it's like you're dressing naked. When you're going through things on the inside that you think can't nobody see, the Prophet said, it's like you're dressing naked. In other words, you wear your issues for everybody to see. So there's going to be these battles that come from within. And just because you can't see them, they are still battles nonetheless. And after losing so many battles, losing the war is inevitable. But today I want to begin to show you how and why we don't have to be defeated. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right off the bat, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and in the power of his might. Underscore that. Do you see what's missing here? You see what's missing there? You. Not just you, but you and your power. You and your might. See, for a long time, some of you have been trying to work some things out in your life on your own. And the problem with that is you've been trying to handle spiritual issues with natural methods. Write this down. You will never be able to defeat what originated in the spirit realm through the flesh. Let me say that again. You will never be able to defeat what originated in the spirit realm through the flesh. This is why it is so important that we know the Word of God. Because if you know the Word of God, then you know the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4, New King James Version, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. See, if you will abide in God, then God will abide in you. And since God is in you, you have a power that is greater than anything that will ever come up against you. And since we know that's the case, then why would you fall back on a power of your own that has never been victorious? Make it make sense to me. See, when you begin to study God's word and believe God's word, watch that, it's not enough just to study it. You've got to believe it. Oh, God. Watch this. You ain't got to have a PhD in anything. All you got to do is believe it. You ain't got to be able to speak in Greek, Hebrew, or Latin, or even speak in tongues. All you've got to do is believe what you read. Lord, have mercy. See, when you begin to study God's word and believe God's word, you can walk in God's word, and you won't need a bunch of pills for anxiety, and you won't need a drink to settle your nerves, and you won't need no weed to bring you peace. And see, there's some issues with the weed, the pills, and the liquor anyway. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, you already know what I thought about. Jesus, help me, Lord. I ain't going to do it. Amen. And then they just start praying. Don't let him go there, y'all. The problem with pills, weed, and liquor is pills will wear off. You're going to sober up from the liquor, and eventually you come down off the weed. But guess what? Whatever had you all messed up is still going to be there when all that wears off. But the peace that God gives, the peace that surpasses all understanding, doesn't duck the problem trying to pop, drink, or smoke anything away. No, God's peace is not a punk, you understand. God's peace don't try to hide you away from your circumstance. But God's peace, it faces the issues and keeps it moving. And when it does, it allows you to pass your natural understanding. Oh, God. It allows you to pass your natural understanding of the matter, and it walks on to God. Kevin, Kenneth, come here. Kenny, come here real quick, both of you, really quick. I want you to understand. Here is the hail. Here is someone trying to walk past the hail and on with their life without God. And every time they try to walk past, there's a blocking. Because Kenny, what his problem is he's trying to deal with his problem off what B's told him. The problem is Kenny's trying to walk past the problem just a little high, not a whole lot, but just a little high. But when it is that he has the peace that surpasses all understanding from the great I am, watch this. He don't just walk past the problem. He moves the problem out the way. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I don't know about nobody else in here, but I'm going through way too much hell to be trying to rock with something my wife say, my friends say, somebody on YouTube said. I need the power of God in my life. God's peace ain't no punk. So let your might and your strength and your powerless power go. Can I say it again? Let your might and your strength and your powerless power go. It has no place in your new life. It has no place in your new, improved, working through Christ life. Now let's look at a couple of verses. 11 and 12 in chapter 6 of Ephesians says it like this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now I want you to catch this. In verse 11 it says that you have to put on his armor. But I need you to understand that this just isn't any old armor, but rather it's God's armor, which means it's good. It's perfect. When properly worn, watch this, it will never fail you. Did you hear what I said? When it's properly worn, it will never fail you. This armor, God's armor, will make it possible to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Now the word wiles means devious and cunning strategies employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what it is that they want. Now let me help you understand something. The enemy has individual strategies set up for each one of us. Mm-hmm. His temptation, his game plan, his fight plan is set up just for you and me exclusively, mm-hmm. Which means that he comes at me in a way, the way that he comes at me might not be the way that he comes at Kenny, because Kenny's way might not do it for me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So some of the brothers in the church and I, we big boxing fans. I mean, we big boxing fans. We so big of boxing fans, we be ready to box on the strength of who we think gonna win the boxing match. And so we big boxing fans, and we love us some boxing. But one thing happens in every training camp before the fight. And the one thing that happens in every training camp before the fight is the watching of the tape. Oh, God. The two camps watch tape of each other in order to see the strengths and the weaknesses of their opponent. They want to find the areas to attack that will give them the best advantage. So if Tank Davis, which I'm saying is the best, if Tank Davis is about to fight Devin Haney, then Tank, watch this, he's not watching fight tape of Terrence Crawford. Oh, God. Because Terrence Crawford and Devin Styles are totally different. They like to fight different ways. They like different things. So Tank will study Devin to the fullest to see what Devin likes and what he don't like. And off the strength of that, Tank will make his plan. Beloved, let me explain something to you. Satan has been watching your tape. Did you hear me? Satan has been watching your tape. He's been watching every bit of your tape. He knows everything about you. He knows all your weaknesses. You understand what I'm saying to you? And as he watches your tape, he knows what you like. He knows what you like, but you shouldn't like. Mm-hmm. He knows what your fetishes are. He knows about that small bit of perverseness that's in you. He knows if you struggle with lust, lying, gossip, and whatever else. And so he takes all of what he knows and he uses it against you to make his devious and cunning strategy against you in hopes of manipulating and persuading you to do what he wants you to do. And when he gets you, I want you to hear me. When he gets you, it's only God that can get you back. Many of us have been spending years trying to figure out why our family members, why our cousins, our kids, our what's wrong? Why won't nothing make sense to him? Because immediately, as soon as he grabs someone, he locks them down with a stronghold. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is a fortified lie pent down on the inside of the believer that no matter what anybody tries to tell them, the stronghold says, watch this. The mind don't even get what's going on because the stronghold blocks the information from getting to the mind. So you are just constantly in a spiritual and mental prison. If Satan ever gets you, it will only be God to get you back. Lord, have mercy. Now, real quickly, let's look at verse number 12, and we'll wrap it up for the day. Amen. Verse 12 says in the New King James Version, "But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Did you see that? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood ain't what we're wrestling against. When you're trying to figure out why somebody can't understand you, it's because that's not who you're talking to. They don't even get the message that you're trying to get because that's not who they are. Let me tell you why you got to get in this word. Let me tell you why you got to get in the presence of God. Because when you get in the word and you get in the presence of God, God begins to give you something called discernment. And when you first get saved, it's one of the freebies that he gives you, discernment. And I, you know, people go, you know, you get all theological and all of that. I'm just going to make it hood. Is that all right in here? Discernment to me means I'm able to see the wolves in sheep's clothing. Simple as that. Simple as that. And so, what we've got to do is we've got to be able to walk in discernment so that we can see and sense when we got strange weed in the garden. I want you to understand that we're not wrestling, Lord have mercy, against one another. It's not that they don't want to get right. It's just that they can't get right. And you keep on talking about what's going to happen to them, and you keep on talking about what happened to you, and you keep on talking about what happened to your cousin, and you seen what happened with them, and don't none of that matter. The only thing that's going to deliver them is the word. So you in church every Sunday, but you keep talking about you, when you should be talking about the word of God that is able. What do we hear in Sunday school? I mean, in Bible study Wednesday, the word that is able to save your soul. Lord, have mercy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Let's look at it from the New Living Translation, because I want to make sure everybody walks out of here getting it. Check this out. The New Living Translation, Ephesians 6 and 12. "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Let me just go ahead and bless somebody today. I've seen somebody do this, and they just need to know the truth. Satan is not under the ground. Ain't gonna get no help right there. And it ain't seven heavens. If it is, I can't find four of them. We know that there is the heaven that you see with the birds and the air and the sun and all of that and the moon, right? One heaven. And then there's a second heaven where we believe that Satan dwells. Then there is the third heaven, which is the kingdom of God. It's where God dwells. Some of you say, well, how do you know that? Well, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel has this crazy dream and it spooks him. And he's like, I'm not going to eat anything that tastes good until I get the revelation of what this dream is. This is where we get that thing called the Daniel fast. Okay. And so, but you know, of course, you know us, 21st Century Westernized Church, we made the Daniel fast easy. He said, I will not eat anything that is pleasant to my taste. We took the Daniel fast and said, you know what? We're going to eat fruits, vegetables. And if you ever come to my house on the Daniel fast, my soul, look, she's looking. She's like, you better not tell. I'm going to tell. You tell on me. she'd be taking like 5 cans of pineapples, right? And I'm talking about she'd be choking the juice out of those pineapples. I mean, she'd just have pineapples in her hands, just squeeze it. And then she'd go, it's juice, it's pineapple juice. I'm so glad I'm out of a life of crime. I know this one right here, I'd be doing PF01, amen. Daniel has this dream, and in his dream he has this revelation, this vision, and it's got him messed up. And he says, I'm not gonna do anything that is pleasing to the flesh until I get the understanding of this situation. 3 weeks Daniel waits, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, here comes an angel. When Daniel sees the angel, he's spooked, he's scared. And the angel says, chill, I'm an angel from the Lord. I want you to catch this. The first part's going to bless you if you'll receive it. He said, I need you to understand, Daniel, watch this, that the Lord heard your cry when you first cried out. Some of you should have just lost your mind right there, because you're going through a little bit of hell and high water, and it don't seem like it's getting any easier. You should have just went ahead and lost your mind, because I need you to understand that God heard you when you first cried. It might not look like it, nothing might have changed it, but please understand and understand me good. God has heard. He heard your cry. Yeah, Pastor, but I understand that, but that still don't tell me how we know that the second heaven is actually hell. I'll show you. In that conversation that the angel is having with Daniel, he says this. He says, God heard your cry, and he sent me to you. Immediately when he heard your cry. Watch this. But the prince of Persia withstood me while I was on my way to you. Now, we counted the heavens, right? One, you see the birds in the sky and the sun and all of that. And the second one that we believe is where the kingdom of hell dwells. But the third one, we know that God rejoices and he dwells. He sits on the throne. Amen. And so he says that when he sent me, Lord, have mercy. So if God is in heaven, he could have only sent him from heaven. Amen. He sent the angel down into the earth realm. But on the way down there, watch this, there was a stoppage. There was a blockage. It was the prince of Persia. It was the enemy that was stopping the angel from getting to Daniel to be able to let him know what was going on. I don't know. You know, 1 + 1 = 2 to me, 3 + 3 = 6. But I don't claim to be the sharpest tool in the shed. But if he sent him from heaven, he had to go through hell, oh God. Or he wouldn't have been withstood before he got to the earth realm. That's another reason you should shout. Satan knew, watch this, Satan will always block whatever he can when your next level is on the way. When your deeper depth was on the way, when your breakthrough was on the way, when your children are on their way out of it, when your marriage is on the mend, when everything is about to get worked out, Satan will try to send a death angel to stop what it is that God has intended for you. Watch this, Lord. It's about 20 of you in here going through some hell. You ought to just go ahead and shout on the strength of it's on the way. I dare you that's going through hell, put a down payment, oh God, with a shout, with a wave offering, that I believe everything that I'm going through, God's going to work it out. Lord, have mercy. So watch this. So the next time that you gonna put the devil in his place, don't be doing stuff like that, because you're just messing up your shoes. I wish I wouldn't see you stepping on this good carpet, talking about you stepping the devil out. You know how much we pay for that? You gotta cop and act like you got some sense. But Satan wants you to believe stuff like that. He wants you to believe that you gotta stomp on the ground and you stomping on the devil's head. Because as long as you believe elementary things like that, you will not tap into the realness of battle and check the enemy where he is. Watch this. Let me get through this. I'm almost done, I promise. But we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. See, you keep seeing the wrong one as the enemy. Give me 1 second. because I want everybody to catch this. You keep seeing the wrong one as the enemy. We don't have flesh and blood enemies. I mean, well, we do, but they only the byproduct of the demonic ruler. We got them, but they not the root. Your haters is just the fruit. Oh, God. The root is far deeper than the hater that he sends. Oh, God, y'all ain't hearing me in here. And they are the fruit of an unseen world that has mighty powers. But get this. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about no power, no permission. Amen. Satan can't destroy you if you don't bite, if you don't give in, if you don't give him permission. But the moment that you give him permission, he does everything in his power to destroy you. Lord, have mercy. You have got to know who the opponent is. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse number 26, the New International Version. It says this. It says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. That analogy again, boxing. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. But watch what the New Living Translation says. It says, so I run with the purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. Not knowing who your opponent is will have you shadow boxing. You'll be swinging, but in the direction of where you are throwing your punches, that's not where your opponent is. I know he looks like the one that's coming for you and at you. I know the words came out of their mouth. I know that's the one you were in a relationship with and they broke your heart for no reason at all. And you feel like you need them to get them back. But I promise you, beloved, they are not the root, Lord have mercy. They are just the ones that were sent to bring you out of character. But just the ones that were sent to bring you out of character. That's why when you give somebody the business for something that they did, and they just look at you like a deer in headlights. They look at you like they don't even know that they, what are you upset about? Because it was not them that did it, but it was the principalities that stand behind them. This is why when you pray at night, you need to say things like this. Lord, anything that's in me that's not of you, get it out. I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not quick enough to know when I've been overtaken by something that's in the dark realm. Anything that's in me that's not of you, bring it out. Because you'll be shadow boxing and your enemy will be busting you upside the head. You'll be shadow boxing. You'll be dancing. You'll be bobbing and weaving. You'll be thinking that. Yeah, he didn't say nothing slick behind that. Well, he wasn't the one that was offended. And the one that is offended slaps you in your head again. And you're constantly trying to figure out, how is this able to happen? It's able to happen because you don't know who you're fighting. And you're giving everybody a piece of your mind. That's why some of you ain't got no mind left. You done gave everybody a piece of your mind. And the people that you're giving a piece of your mind to ain't got nothing to do with what's really going on. And Satan's like, go ahead, give them another piece of your mind. Go on, give them another piece of your mind. And do you know why that's so deep? Because I want you to understand that this is deep. Because when you give somebody a piece of your mind, it's an emotional thing. You don't do it if it didn't bother you. You don't do it if it didn't hurt you. For you to give somebody a piece of your mind meant they took you to a place that you wasn't able to get back from on your own. And you, when you give them a piece of your mind, watch this. You think you showing them, but you losing a piece of you. In closing, this is why the Bible says, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath. And this brings about a pride problem, right? Especially from us that you know, we'll come take a look at you. Because when people say stuff to you, people say, you know, you're supposed to just be quiet. Because it's the new you. But the problem is, the old man still exists. So your new you is going, I can't believe you said that, but I'm going to let that go. And the old man is going, you just bust him in his mouth one time. I mean, everybody... Everybody, I mean, they'll understand. I mean, anybody would got hit in the mouth for that one. But the new you is going, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be condemned. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I want you to see the battle. But if you cuss them out, you just lost the battle. Take a shot in the war. And if you keep on losing the battles, you keep on taking shots in the war. To eventually, the war is over. How is the war over? When you eventually, you show up at church every Sunday, but you still do you. And on the strength of that, the war is over because now your witness is no longer effective. Nobody believes you anymore. People know that you can say all that good stuff, but just let something crazy happen and the real you will show up. That's when the war is over, when you have lost your effectiveness, when you are no longer to be salt, a salt to the earth. You understand what I'm saying to you? So today, for part one of this sermon series, Dress for Success, I want you to take this home. They're not your problem. And let's just be 100 about this. If you knew, then they shouldn't be able to push old buttons. Did you catch that? Quit fronting about the new year. The new year don't make you new. What makes you new is that you begin to, what was our formula from Wednesday night? That you begin to receive the word, you begin to apply the word, you begin to grow from the word, and then you begin to exemplify the word. That's a new you, and it ain't got nothing to do with a new year. Amen? God bless you.
The Lord.